Anyone who has ever danced in front of a high chair, made odd sounds made by unknown animals, or simply full-on bribed your child with cold, hard cash to simply get down another forkful of food will want to hear this. We're taking on picky eaters today. New York Times columnist Melissa Clark goes to a very reliable source for advice, Katie Workman, mother of two and author of The Mom 100 Cookbook.
Hi, Katie. So great to talk to you today.
Thank you. It's so great to be here with you.
So kids are so inconsistent about what they eat. One minute they love capers, the next minute they don't like anything except for mashed potatoes. I know you have great coping strategies. Tell me, how do I deal with this?
Well, I wish I could list off a wonderful array of reliable solutions, but I can't. But I do have a lot of experience with this, both my own kids who are, you know, they're pretty good eaters on the whole, which, by the way, I think is something that most people should brag about less.
I know. Don't you hate when you hear about other people's kids who eat all kinds of sushi and anchovies and, you know, every single vegetable in the world?
Yeah. Little Tommy loves sea urchin. He can't get enough.
So how do we cope with these little picky eaters? What can we do?
Well, I think that, first of all, you basically have to keep moving forward like a shark. There's no choice. And there are so many ebbs and flows. Every time you think you have something conquered, you know, your kid eats fish, and you think, well, that's done. My kid likes fish now. And then, sure enough, a week later, they're scrunching their nose up at the very same dish. The number one thing, of course, and it's the number one hardest thing, not coincidentally, is to try not to push too hard and to try not to let it show how much you want them to eat that fish or those Brussels sprouts or whatever it is. Because, you know, kids, there are control issues. This is a time of experimentation, and they're trying to do push-pull with you, and as hard as you push is as hard as they'll pull, and vice versa. And, you know, it's not just a control issue, though. It's also, there's an actual sort of genetic feature at play, which I found really interesting when I kind of started to dig into this, because, you know, one does think, like, why are some kids pickier than others? And there's a very interesting fact, which is that we are all born with about 10,000 taste buds. And over the course of time, by the time you reach full adulthood, you only have 3,000 taste buds. The number simply diminishes.
Wow.
So whatever we perceive as pleasantly bitter, kids perceive as extremely bitter because they've got all their little receptors firing away.
And that's why they like bland food, I guess, because if something's a little bit blander, then it's more gentle in their mouths.
Yeah. And even further to that, all of us are born with these two genes, which have this long list of letters and numbers that I can never remember what they are. But one version of this gene is more sensitive to bitterness than the other. And if a person has one or both of these genes in the more sensitive category, that person will be very apt to be more sensitive to bitter taste than someone who has both these genes in the less sensitive category. And, of course, the studies show that a large majority of these kids have at least one of the sensitive genes. So
there's a biological reason.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But then do we outgrow this? Because bitter things can be really good for you. Some of the healthiest foods are bitter.
Most people do outgrow this. And, of course, there's all sorts of cultural things and environmental things at play because, you know, kids who are growing up in Southeast Asia, of course, are being exposed to a whole different, you know, variety of foods than kids who are growing up in the United States of America. So there is a lot to be said for, again, going back to the sort of repetition. The more they're exposed to certain things, the more that they can learn to embrace those flavors.
So is that how we can get our kids to acquire all those acquired tastes?
Right, exactly. It's called an acquired taste for a reason.
And how do you do that? You just keep giving. I mean, your kid doesn't eat broccoli, you know, first time, second time, third time. I mean, how many times do you have to reintroduce a food for them to possibly like it, or at least to, so you know you've done your best, and that
right,
maybe they won't
right.
ever eat broccoli. But
right, right. Well, and, you know, sidebar on that for a minute. I mean, we all have some foods we just don't like. That's
right.
Fair, right?
Right.
But the number 10 comes up a lot in terms of how frequently you have to introduce something in order for it to become somewhat familiar. So 10 times seems to be a rule, which sounds a little bit daunting, I think, but it doesn't have to be 10 times over the course of 10 days. It just has to sort of appear. And another thing is, you know, if you are steaming broccoli or boiling broccoli, that's one way to serve broccoli, but maybe you toss it with a little bit of olive oil and salt and roast it at a high heat so that the roasting brings out the natural sugars and caramelizes the natural sugars in the broccoli. And, I mean, in my house, that's the way broccoli goes, like, flying when I make it that way. But a steamed plate of broccoli, not so much.
Now, have you ever successfully gotten your kids who used to hate something to really start liking something just by reintroducing?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, introducing the food again repeatedly and trying to sort of combine flavors that you know your kid already likes. You know, one of the things my sons both really like is the flavor of balsamic vinegar. They love that sweetness. Mm-hmm. So one day I just basically poured a balsamic vinaigrette that I had made over some fish, marinated it for 20 minutes and broiled it, and suddenly fish was okay.
Wow.
Another thing that I love in terms of introducing new food is peer pressure, which is always sort of brought up in a bad way. But if your kid is seated next to a kid that, you know, probably an older kid that they perceive to be super cool, I looked down at my kids at a dinner party a couple of years ago, and they were with a bunch of teenagers, and they were trying to be really cool and really, like, smooth. And all of a sudden, I looked down, and they were scooping up huge spoonfuls of this. It was a butternut squash coconut Thai bisque. I remember it because they were eating it like, oh, yeah, yeah, we eat this all the time, you know?
That's great.
And another thing that I would also stress is really manageable portions. A big slab of fish on somebody's plate is intimidating. So start with something small, you know, a little ramekin of soup, whatever it is. Just don't overwhelm them with a portion size.
Keep it manageable. Thank you so much, Katie. This is great information.
Thanks. It was great to talk to you, Melissa.
Katie Workman is the author of the Mom 100 Cookbook and blog. Melissa Clark is the author of Cook This Now. Well, Katie left us with her Never Fail to Please the Junior Set recipe for macaroni and cheese. And you know where it is, splendidtable.org.